From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. After hearing a flood of testimony last week, the Senate State Affairs Committee is giving Alaskans two more chances to offer feedback on Senate Bills 23 and 24, legislation that would authorize a full permanent fund dividend and back pay the difference on previously cut PFDs. After running out of time for the 167 people who signed up last Thursday, the committee will take more public testimony this Tuesday and Thursday night. KCAW's Catherine Rose has more on the story.
167 Alaskans signed up to testify before the Senate State Affairs Committee last Thursday. 30 Sitkins waited at the local legislative information office for their turn to speak to the committee about SB 23 and SB 24, two bills that would authorize a full permanent fund dividend and back payments of portions of the dividend that were cut by the legislature and vetoed by Governor Bill Walker during his administration. During the two-hour meeting, testimony was limited to 1 minute per person, but only 22 Sitkins were able to speak before the committee chair ended the meeting shortly after 8 p.m. Those who spoke were opposed to the Senate bills, concerned that big PFDs come with other costs. Larry Calvin called the PFD promise a bribe.
Why is our governor wanting to clean up the swamp? Those swampy things like education, ferries, swimming pools, and towns. He's doing this because he and his financial well-off associates don't want state income tax. Why are they so eager to increase the permanent fund dividend? That is a bribe. That buys the vote of the many dearly needing the dividend.
Sitkin Amy Sweeney said she didn't want a bigger PFD, or any at all, if it came at the expense of government services.
I am willing to give up my entire PFD and pay state income tax in order to make money available for government services we all need.
Sitkin Sue Littman voiced her concern about a big PFD payout happening in conjunction with cuts to public education, 25% cut to K-12 funding and a 41% cut to state funding of the university system under Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed budget.
It is sometimes nice to receive free money. However, this is not one of those times. The money to fund these additional permanent fund dividends will come at great expense to all public schools in the state of Alaska.
Donald Westland in Ketchikan said he opposed both bills, knowing he and others in coastal Alaska would be impacted by cuts to the state ferry system.
I wish there was some way of me able to take and pick and click and put my permanent fund to the ferry system so that I have a ferry system. I live in Ketchikan, Alaska, and it is my highway.
But not everyone was in favor of foregoing the PFD for state services. On Wednesday, Governor Dunleavy tweeted a video asking people to call in and show their support for SB 23 and 24.
If you don't get involved, if you don't call in, politicians are going to think it's okay to take your PFD and use it to pay for a bloated government.
And some supporters did call in. During his testimony, Jack Detzel in Delta Junction said he was in favor of the bills.
I believe it's imperative that the legislature right the ship financially and quit spending money. The people that created the permanent fund would be aghast, and the state residents that elected Governor Dunleavy by a wide margin support this, and there's plenty of opportunity for you to consolidate, so I would implore the committee to do those things prior to taking any more dividends from the people.
And Earl Lackey of the Mat-Su said he thought bigger PFDs actually made sense economically.
If we're going to pay out PFDs and with the finances short, it still makes sense because we're going to, by giving out the PFDs now, we're going to jumpstart our economy up here and get things rolling the way they should in the state.
Nevertheless, the majority of testimony given was in favor of state services over a full PFD with back pay. The Senate State Affairs Committee will offer two more opportunities to testify on the PFD bills, Tuesday, March 5th at 6 p.m., and if needed, Thursday, March 7th at 6. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
And in other news, the search continues for any sign of the medevac plane that disappeared near Cake with three crew members on board in January. According to a Guardian Flight Facebook post yesterday, the search team recently located a large object in Frederick Sound that they think could be part of the missing aircraft. Using sonar, they estimated it could be about 25 feet long and 6 to 8 feet wide. The object is under about 600 feet of water. So the team will need to use a submersible to identify it, and that may take a few days. The Juno-based crew, pilot Patrick Coyle, paramedic Margaret Langston, and nurse Stacy Ray Morse took off from Anchorage on January 29th to pick up a patient in Cake. They never arrived. A three-day search in the area by the U.S. Coast Guard turned up only part of a wing. Search crews detected a signal from the plane's cockpit voice recorder in February. Family, friends, and colleagues of the missing crew members are anxiously awaiting word of any findings. In the Facebook post, Randy Lyman of Guardian Flight writes that they will share updates as soon as they know more. Lyman writes, quote, "We are hopeful that this might be a positive step in the process to recover our missing friends and return them to their families." And last month, a Juneau judge denied Sitka Tribe of Alaska request for an injunction that would have required the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to develop new procedures in the lead up to the Sitka Sacro herring fishery. But last week, STA filed a petition to the Alaska Supreme Court to reverse that decision. KCAW's Enrique Perez de la Rosa has this report.
Leaders of the tribe announced the petition to the Supreme Court at a public dinner at the Xikikuan Nakahiti, featuring a herring salad with eggs from the tribe's frozen supply. The atmosphere in the room was jovial at times, as the dish was served to about 100 people in a long line that stretched to the front door. But a somber atmosphere overtook those attending as speakers moved away from legal disputes and spoke on the cultural impact of a dwindling supply of herring. Tribal council member Bob Sam told the oral history of herring harvesting, of a tribe that was suffering through starvation, and a woman who saved them by submerging her hair in the ocean for herring to lay their eggs in it. The tribal administration didn't allow the media to record audio at the meeting. Sam told the crowd, quote, "The eggs are sacred. If we lose them, we lose our way. We have to come together for the herring. If we do that, we will win." General Manager Lisa Gassman says STA and tribal citizens were very disappointed with the judge's decision to deny the delay of commercial fishing in the Sacro fishery, which is scheduled to start in March. In a phone interview, she explained why.
We felt that our documents we filed showed that we faced imminent and irreparable harm, not only in the past, but would face that in the upcoming 2019 season due to the department's failure to ensure STA and our subsistence harvesters had a reasonable opportunity to meet our subsistence needs.
Gassman added that herring is more than food to Tlingit people. It's part of their cultural legacy.
It's something that was handed down, taught generation to generation, fathers and uncles teaching their children and nephews, and it's our way of life. We haven't been able to get our subsistence herring eggs despite increased efforts by many of our harvesters, and it definitely is impacting our way of life and our culture. It has been harmed.
Harriet Belial of the Sitka chapter of the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska also spoke to the crowd of the cultural ties herring has to Tlingit peoples. But she said that's something the state and courts don't understand. Quote, "When they hear cultural, they hear emotional. They hear non-scientific. We have to teach them what that means. Everything is intertwined, our tradition, our food." Tribal Chair Kathy Hope Erickson says that much is apparent.
Well, yeah, you have to know that they don't understand because of the decisions that come out at the board level, at the court level.
As she remembers, the population of herring has dwindled over the course of her life. She says herring were once abundant.
When I was young, which was quite a while ago, my brothers would take buckets and lines down to the dock and catch herring. About this time of year, they'd bring home the feast.
Those days are gone, but STA believes their lawsuit for stronger protections could bring back the masses of herring to Sitka. But litigation comes at a great cost, so much so that the tribe has launched a GoFundMe campaign to take donations from those concerned about the herring. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Enrique Perez de la Rosa.
And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of today, it's 35 degrees in the capital city. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 18. And for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 36.